You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 4 podcast.
And we welcome you back. Been a busy one, and we'll get back to your calls as quickly as we can here. But first, we want to talk to Mike Renner, who is the lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus, as we are getting ready for the draft. It is a week from tomorrow. Mike, thanks for rejoining us on the program. We certainly have enjoyed our chats in the past. And as we move toward tomorrow, which is a week out, what are you looking for? What are you watching for? And good afternoon.
Thanks for having me back, Paul. I am watching the quarterbacks. I think everyone in the entire draft world is watching these quarterbacks, because I think that's easily the biggest storyline, because this might be the second time they go 1, 2, 3 in the NFL draft. I think it's going to be the first time ever that they go 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it's just indicative of the desperation for a lot of these teams in the quarterback position. And then how good this quarterback class is. Like, this truly is a rare class in terms of the talent, the physical tools that these top guys are bringing to the table. So I think that's going to be the one where the draft is going to kind of hinge where these quarterbacks ended up dropping.
And Mike, I mean, we watched this Mac Jones story like everyone. We had Mac on here, I think it was last Thursday, and you know, he's really cool, and he's letting it all rub off him like water off a duck. But what does it look like right now? Because it seems like most think he's going 3, but then everybody has a source who believes otherwise. What's the deal?
I mean, I got a source inside the 49ers organization that says he doesn't even know. He said that Kyle Shanahan, he's not telling guys right now. He's keeping it close to the vest, and he may have even moved up to 3 with the sort of inclination that he had multiple guys that he'd be willing to take. And I think you almost have to when you did it that early, because yeah, Trevor Lawrence and Zach Wilson were kind of penciled or penned into 1-2, but things can change. You know, guys, things can happen leading up to the draft. Guys can put on a video of them, can leak the day of, and they can drop down like a rock. So I do think he had in mind a couple of guys that he would be more than willing to take when he did move up. But I do get why the Mac Jones tea leaves are reading that he's the one going 3. It's because the offense he ran at Alabama, the routes he's targeting, the way he's working in the middle of the field there, that's what you're going to have to do in Kyle Shanahan's offense. That's what he's run. That's the type of quarterback he has prioritized. And so I get why that fits there. But if you're just talking about pure physical talent and what they can bring to the quarterback position, I mean, he's comfortably behind guys like Trey Lance from North Dakota State and Justin Fields from Ohio State.
Let's talk about the conundrum better known as Justin Fields. It seems like there's a new story every day. What are you hearing, and what do you believe should happen?
I mean, I believe he's the guy that should go 3 overall. What he's done, one, in his career at Ohio State over the past 2 years, and heck, even when he was back at Georgia for the few snaps he did play there, he's been an exceptional college quarterback. He runs a 4-4. He's got a strong arm. He can make plays with his legs. He can make plays inside structure, outside structure. Like, he's already done it. It was the, you know, 5-star, one of the top recruits of all time, beat out Trevor Lawrence at Elite 11. I'm really surprised at the amount of holes that are getting poked in his game. And I'm not saying his tape is perfect, but it reminds me a lot of Deshaun Watson coming out, where it's like the things that are bad on his tape can be fixed. You can't teach a guy to throw it 65 yards up down the field on a dime the way he can. You know, so I do think that he should be the pick there for the 49ers. Now, will he? I have no clue, but I think he's really getting overly nitpicked in this draft process.
Mike, the wide receiver room is vast, and I mean, I hate to use a cliche that you really can't go wrong, because somebody will go wrong, and and I know what they say about Devontae Smith. He's too skinny, and this one's that, but as you look at it, with Chase and Smith and Waddle and Kyle Pitts thrown in there just for confusion, how is that one going to fare?
It's really going to be, I don't think it's you can't go wrong. It's like you got to pick your flavor. What type of wide receiver do you want? Do you want a home run threat? Someone who's going to stretch the field who can, you know, be your screen guy, be pretty much that guy in your offense? Well, it's Jalen Waddle then. Do you want the guy you can stick on the outside at the true X receiver, ask him to go one-on-one against cornerbacks and not necessarily worry about him? That's going to be Jamar Chase. I mean, that is what he did in the LSU offense. If you want one of the best route runners probably to come out in the draft, maybe ever, in terms of what he can do, who you can move around and be ultimate sort of chess piece that defenses have to account for, Devontae Smith. That's what he did at Alabama. You saw him win the Heisman because of it. So that's what those three all bring to the table. You're going to have to kind of realize what they bring skill set wise and utilize them in that manner. But they're all three elite at those skill sets. And then you throw Kyle Pitts in the mix, who is kind of what everyone's looking for, that mismatch to where he'd be in that group if he was just a wide receiver, but he's not just a wide receiver, which is the beauty of it. He's going to be going up against linebackers and safeties, which is going to make his life so much easier in terms of how he can win then. That's like why, you know, Travis Kelce transforms the Chiefs offense when he's on the field, because what he does and his ability to beat pretty much anyone he lines up across from just gives defenses mismatch nightmare. So I think Pitts ends up being the first one of those guys off the board. But like you said, I'm not sure you can go wrong with those four.
Mike, before you take off, and I know it's just pure speculation, and you know the things we've talked about are the things that everyone thinks is going to happen. But what's the biggest wild card possibility? If you had to predict one, or believe that there is one that could blow up between now and then, and maybe upset a lot of what we think is conventional wisdom.
I do think that Zach Wilson to the Jets may not be 100% set in stone. Everyone's kind of said that, and that's no one's even discussed it for the past month or so. But that might not necessarily be the guy they're targeting. I mean, there's been no leaks out of it. That's just kind of what everyone has assumed based off of Joe Douglas's history is where they go, but they haven't come out and said it. So I do think that could be the wild card. That could be a thing that shakes up the draft. If they go elsewhere with that number two overall pick, we could be looking at the board just a lot differently come late April.
Mike Renner, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. Mike, thanks for making time. I know it's crazy for you and your team, but we always enjoy seeing you. Thanks so much.
For sure, Paul. Thanks for having me on.
You got it. One of the best out there. Let's take a break. More to come here on the program. We've had a gaggle of guests, so we're going to take a breath here and get to your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
We welcome you back, and let's get back to the calls. And Logan, North Carolina, you're up next. Good afternoon, Logan.
Hey, Paul. Happy hump day.
Thank you.
Awesome show today. Awesome show, man. I forgot what I was calling in about. So many things have happened since I called in. So what should we talk about? There's been a lot of awesome topics on your show today.
Well, thank you. Yeah, no, I don't know. I mean, you're right. We've had an unusual amount of guests, and you know, there hasn't been a I mean, this is still a fairly serene time of the year, unless you're looking at the draft. But it's all yours. You pick your poison.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I just wanted to say, when I was on hold, I heard the a four letter word. It was Jeff, J-E-F-F. So I got to address him.
Please.
And just, I mean, did this guy just not get enough attention as a child? I don't understand. Like, now he's a contributor to the show. I mean, are you guys going to put him on as a producer? It's insane. And between him and I, man, like, I don't know if they've ever really contributed anything to any sports talk. I don't know if either one of them knows anything about football or sports. They both, you know, bloviate about their own things they're into. But, you know, and, you know, not to be, I mean, I love your show because of the fact, I mean, we talk about politics, Paul, we talk about rock and roll, all kinds of stuff, but, you know, for somebody to complain about the show, somebody from Ohio worried about, I mean, this is the SEC network. I mean, what does he think people are going to talk about? I mean, we want to talk about SEC football. So I just don't get it with people like that.
Well, I think, Logan, you have to start, you know, talking about, you know, who Jeff is and the fact that he's dealing with acute narcissism. And then you move on from there. And, I mean, you know me. I mean, I love the callers more than anything on this show. We have great guests, but the callers are what made us where we are. And there's always a debate about, you know, the show the same. Of course, it's not. Nothing is the same. I mean, just look at the evolution of the media, you know, how different it is 10 years ago, 20 years ago, and how different it will be in the future. But but we've been on the air more than 30 years as a radio show, and it's still dictated and predicated by callers. And for Jeff to think that, you know, this show revolves around him, I mean, there's only two people that I've ever dealt with that have that similar point of view, and they just happen to be good friends.
I could guess who those two are. David, Paul, like what you said, like, I mean, I always feel like we have a good conversation. I don't know, maybe you get bored, you know, like Iron Man does, but, you know, I always have a good conversation with you. I appreciate our talks. So to turn it back towards something, I was going to tell you a little quick story. I was really excited about the Alabama game this weekend, and I messed up. I didn't record the game. I had to work, and so when I got off Saturday, I was really disappointed that all my friends and family had watched the game and I didn't. So, but thanks to SEC Network, I got to watch it on Monday. So I'm kind of late to the party, but I thought it was. I thought they looked good. They really did. I was pleased by Bryce Young. I thought he did a good job. You know, it's vanilla. I didn't expect him to go out and throw for 500 yards, but you know, I thought it was good. And then on the back end of that, I caught the Georgia game today, and they looked really good too, Paul. Unfortunately, like I thought their backup quarterback looked really good. I mean, he was as vaunted as the Georgia defense is, the first team, and I don't know how many people they had out, but he did a pretty good job too. So I just wanted to get your opinion on that, what you thought about that. I know not to make too much of it, but
yeah,
I thought that Georgia looked pretty good.
I've seen more of the Alabama game. I have the Georgia game on tape, and I will watch it the next time Jeff calls.
Right, exactly. And then finally, I guess I was calling it originally just about the Pac-12. So I was thinking, I don't know, like outside of USC and Oregon, I don't see any other teams are relevant anymore. So I don't understand that.
Yeah,
whole
I mean,
idea
the biggest fall from grace has been Stanford, because they have a great, you know, I mean, I've said repeatedly that, you know, David Shaw's one of the best coaches in the country. Well, I don't know if I can keep saying that anymore based on where the program has been, but I think I think he's capable. They just have, I think last year was a little bit better. But hey, thanks, Logan, for the call. Speaking of the West Coast, Graham is up next in California. Hello, Graham.
Hey, Paul.
How are you doing?
I'm good. So I've been wondering. So Georgia, they've been up there a lot in the national championship game in 2018 and been in the playoffs a lot. And I'm wondering if this could be their year, if JT Daniels and that Georgia offense could really help win that national championship.
Graham, I think it's entirely possible. And you know, where in California do you live?
Los Angeles.
Well, that is JT Daniels' country out there, to say the least. And I think it's really exciting. I think the injury to Pickens is troublesome, but I don't think it's enough to cost them because you can overcome certain things. But I think there are obviously deficiencies, and we're gauging that on a spring game and practice. But I think Georgia has a shot at beating Clemson, and even if they don't, I think then they have to roll the dice later in the year. But they would clearly and absolutely be in my top four right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then also, what about USC? They played well last year, and people are thinking that they could be kind of up there, maybe not top four, but 5, 6, 7, 8, 9.
Yeah, I'm not a believer in them. I've had doubts about Helton for a couple of years now. I'm surprised he's still there. Every time he gets in trouble, he seems like he wiggles his way out. Which team do you go to any of the games out there?
Yeah, we'll go to the USC games when they're playing either Stanford or a good Pac-12 team.
Well, you sound like quite a football fan, Graham. How old are you?
I'm 11.
11. That's a good age. Wouldn't we all like to be 11 again? Yeah. Hey, well, Graham, thanks so much for your expertise. You would make a great sports analyst. What are you thinking about doing when you get a little bit older?
Yeah, sports analysis seems pretty fun. On the journalism class I'm in, I write for the sports section. So.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Well, that was my former career. I won't bore you with old war stories, but I started as a sports writer and ultimately moved on to radio and TV. But it's a great profession. What do you like writing most about?
I like writing about teams, how they're doing, or what they could do, and what the team looks like, and or teams will be playing.
What are you thinking? Are you looking? I realize you're 11, and you don't have to make this decision for about 6 years. But are you looking? If you could choose a school today, where would you go?
Yeah, I don't really know. I don't know quite which one, but...
Well, I can tell you right now, Southern Cal has a fantastic journalism department. Mm.
Yeah, thanks for the good tip.
The head of the department is married to the former, I think he still is, the chairman of Disney. So, and they've got a great department of everything. But I've been on that campus a couple of times. But you don't need to worry about that right now. You're 11 years old. So, hey, thank you for calling, and you take care of yourself. Okay, that's really interesting. Already thinking about journalism at 11. Daryl is up next in New Jersey. We take a long trip across the country to get to you. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul. How you doing?
I am doing great. What's up with you?
First, I just want to give a shout-out to Florida alum Justin Tratu and Will Hill, and also Alabama alum Anthony Everett and Minka Fitzpatrick from Jersey guys who went to the SEC and won national championships.
Man, Minka, that was what a great player he was. I've heard of the other guys, too. Where in Jersey do you live?
I live in Newark, New Jersey.
Newark?
Yes.
Know it well. Yeah. Flown in there many times.
Okay. Question. I was in the mall last week, and I seen a guy with an Alabama jersey. It wasn't crimson. It was black. I was wondering if you ever seen them playing that in a game, or is it talks in the wearing alternate jerseys, being that a lot of teams are wearing different kind of uniforms?
Now, I'm going to answer this with, and I think I'm correct, but I have never seen Alabama wear anything other than white or crimson. I know for many, many years they never altered it, and then in the last 30 or 40 years they've tweaked it. But I don't believe. Again, I've seen most Alabama games since I started doing this, and I don't that must just be a collector's jersey.
Okay, and speaking of jerseys, what's your favorite uniform in the SEC? And what's your favorite college uniform in the college football? And what's your least favorite in college football?
My favorite is probably the strangest because it's the simplest, but I've always admired Penn State's uniform.
Yes.
It's just so, I mean, there's something artistic about the simplicity of that. Now, I'm trying to think in the SEC. I'm a little bit partial to my own school. I've seen Tennessee wear all orange, which I don't like, but I do think the orange and white's a pretty good look. I think Georgia has a great uniform too. What about you?
I like Florida. I like the blue and the orange.
Yeah.
And the way they could switch it up.
Yeah, Auburn's orange and blue as well, but it's a different shade. I've always thought LSU had a cool uniform too.
Yeah, they wear the white jerseys at home, like the Dallas Cowboys.
Exactly.
And Greg Schiano, just want to give a shout out to Rutgers. We just signed one of the top quarterbacks in high school football, Wimsett from Kentucky. We also signed one of the top running backs, one of the top linebackers from Philadelphia. Greg Schiano is doing good things for Rutgers right now, and I know probably Tennessee is probably.
Darryl, that's a good point. I mean, the Tennessee fans always wanted to act like they didn't want Schiano, but I really like Schiano. I can't tell you how happy I am that he's doing well there. And Darryl, thank you for calling. You call back again sometime, and we'll continue this conversation. A couple of really great calls there with a young man out in California and New Jersey. We are up against a break. More of your phone calls when we come back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
We welcome you back. It's great to have you here. Let's get back to the calls. And Mike is up next in Texas. So, Mike, thanks. Good afternoon.
How you doing, Paul?
Hey, Mike. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I called to see if you talked to Matt and if he knows who the A&M quarterback's going to be this year.
That's a good question. You tell me, because we had Jimbo on about 2 weeks ago, and he didn't give very much away.
Because I know nothing about the A&M quarterback. And, you know, he was talking about the Aggies going to win the SEC. And, you know, I don't know who the quarterback's going to be. So that's really not even possible, in my opinion.
Okay, well, I'm going to give Matt from San Antonio some homework. And he needs to come back tomorrow and break down the quarterbacks for us. Thanks for the call. Let's talk to Alan in Georgia, who is up next. Good afternoon, Alan. Give this a second, and Alan's obviously watching us on TV. Alan, you there? Yeah, hey, go right ahead.
Yes, sir. Hey, man, listen, you know, some people, Paul, you just got to use a speed bump and keep going. You show an extraordinary amount of patience with this guy today, you know, on and on. But, you know, your show is so interesting. You talked to an 11-year-old girl today like you were talking to Jimbo Fisher. You know?
Well, thank you very much. This show is different than almost every other show. And I think I was talking to somebody the other day who was curious about the show. And I said, this is not the type of show you can just watch 3 minutes of and come up with a conclusion. And what I mean by that is I really like to have conversations here. I don't like to yell at people and scream. I used to do that, by the way. I have some experience at it, and I'm done with it. It's just not conducive to a. I mean, it's a family show. We want you to be able to watch it with your kids or your grandparents. The things that help make us famous. I finally reached that fork in the road where I said, you know what? I don't think we have to do that. I don't mind it occasionally. But it used to be we used to have a steady diet of it.
Yeah, you know, when you were talking to a guy in New Jersey, you gave him respect. You gave him time. You know, it was a great conversation about the uniforms. Georgia classes on my transcript. I graduated from Appalachian State, and I'm telling you, Georgia's had a couple of ugly uniforms. I like the Auburn uniforms.
Yeah, Auburn has a great uniform.
Were you ever in Smith magazine? Allison Smith magazine? Remember those in the 80s?
I do remember those, Alan, Street and Smith, this sounds crazy. I still remember, when we were kids, I'd go down to the drugstore, and I still remember the taste of that bubble gum that you would buy at the drugstore. And I know everyone thinks I'm about to say something salacious. I remember the first time I went up there and bought the Street and Smith's college football preview. It came out in July or August. And you live by it. That was it. Yeah. I mean, you had and now, I mean, I suspect it's April 21st. We'll be getting magazines out any day.
Right. Were you ever in one of those? Was your picture ever in one of those?
Not in Street and Smith's. Absolutely not. Those were saved for the star players.
Wasn't there another magazine called Allison's?
Yeah, I believe there was. But there was Street and Smith's. I think you're right about Allison. And then Sporting News did one as well.
That's right, Sporting News. But I tell you what, Larry King used to put his fist up under his chin and rest on it so he would not put his personal interjection into it. It would listen to him. You do as good a job as listening to anybody. And to compare you to Larry King, you're awesome.
I will tell you, Larry King, who just passed away.
I know.
I don't know if there's ever been a better radio host. And, you know, he's best known for being on TV. But I used to listen to Larry I'd be out at 12 or 1 o'clock at night, and I could listen to him all night long, and sometimes did. He was that good. He was great on TV. Larry's philosophy was, I read a lot of his books. I happened to be on his show one time, which was on his television show for CNN, and it was. I was on for the whole hour. It was a tragic story about a young lady who was missing in Aruba about 15 years ago. But sitting there as a host and being plugged in and listening to him, I came away. Larry's philosophy was this: if you had a book out, Alan, he did not want to know anything about the book. And I always wondered but Larry explained if he wants to be as just like everybody listening or watching. So if you just wrote a book about your experiences at Georgia, just for the sake of argument, Larry didn't want to know that. He wanted to say, what's this book about? Tell us, why did you write it? What was it like? Versus, hey, I read your book, and on page 58, I want to ask you about it. I mean, that nobody's read the book. And I felt
that's right.
Sometimes he almost overdid it. I mean, he would, I remember he had Paul McCartney on once, who arguably is one of the greatest songwriters in music history. And he asked McCartney, he said, now when you were with the Beatles, did you write your own songs? Which, you know, anyone knew that, but Larry didn't know, and Larry didn't care if most people didn't know that probably, but only us music snobs did.
Have you got time for one Woody Hayes story?
Sure, absolutely.
Okay. So I got cousins in Columbus, Ohio, out there at Willoughby, and he was this is 75, he was the pharmaceutical manager at Ohio State. So we go up there, third floor, we walk through the infirmary. It's like a Valdosta, Georgia hospital. It was huge. So we go through the door. He's got his key, got his coat and his credentials. We go through a door. We're on like the second tier at the shoe. So we're watching them practice, and there's Rex Curran down there. And in the background was Woody Hayes.
Oh, wow.
So Woody is being demonstrative in his teaching methods. But all of a sudden, we noticed that Woody was pointing up there at us. And we say, what the world is he pointing up here at? There's nobody up here with us. And so here come a young guy, football manager, 18, 19 years old. I'm 25-6, and this young man says, the coach want to know if y'all wouldn't mind leaving the stadium.
That is a great, I imagine you did.
Yeah, and another thing, about 82 or 3, I read in Reader's Digest, it was about Woody Hayes, just sitting at the doctor's office and looking at it. So the story was about Woody Hayes, and a coach, one of his players, called from Boston U Medical School, called Woody. This is in the Reader's Digest. And he says, Coach, I can't do it. He said, what can't you do? He said, I'm dropping out of med school. Bang went the phone, okay? At 2 o'clock in the morning, the football player says, he opened his eyes, and there's Woody Hayes standing over him.
Oh, my goodness.
And Woody Hayes is telling him, you're not jumping out of med school. That is it. Then the Reader's Digest said he spun around, marched out the door, slammed the door, and the football player became a neurosurgeon.
That is unbelievable. That Alan, thanks for sharing that. That was what a fantastic call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. I had the opportunity to interview Woody Hayes before he died, and talked to him a couple of different times, but he was in town for something. And you talk about a smart man. I mean, he was just one of the smartest coaches, likable. I mean, nothing like his reputation. Just like our next caller, who is Cat Daddy.
Big Paul, you looking good? Sounding good?
Thank you.
That's a great conversation today. I wanted to ask you, didn't you say a week back that the Congress was going to work on the student athletes being having to sell their likeness of the names and stuff like that?
That is what everyone is counting on, yes.
Counting on Washington, D.C., a country that won't let you go to church, won't let you go out of the house, won't let you go to work, but let thousands of illegal aliens cross the border without even a mask. How can we let them Looney Tunes up in Washington, D.C. do anything but steal money from us? Bunch of crooks. Both parties are crooked. Crooked. I say crooked.
Yeah, well, I can assure you, Cat Daddy, I don't, the two organizations I trust probably the least with managing college athletics would be the NCAA and Congress.
I agree 100%, Big Paul. You have a great day, and y'all stay safe up there.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Cat Daddy. We are officially out of time for this program. We appreciate all of you for being a part of it. Some really interesting guests today. We'll see you right here tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network beginning at 3 Eastern.